So today's message, open up your Bible to Psalm 55. Would you? Psalm 55. Just a message on one verse today, Psalm 55, 22, a verse that's meant the world to me, perhaps also to you. On the topic today, what I'm calling shaking up. Today we're going to talk about shaking, the fact that God is in control. It wouldn't be right to talk about shaking in Southern California without talking about the largest earthquake ever recorded in the United States, March the 28th, 1964. The epicenter was Alaska, and it was 9.2 on the Richter scale. Now that's a lot of shaking. And I would have been alive for that, but like a year old. So that would have been like a baby going, woo. Interestingly enough, we have been beaten. The world's largest quake, we're second in order. The largest worldwide quake was in Chile in 1960. It was 9.5 on the Richter scale. I don't think we want to try to beat that. I'm happy being number two. How about you? 500,000 detectable earthquakes take place on average each year. Of course, if you do the math, that's an average of 1,370 earthquakes per day, almost one earthquake per minute worldwide. Now, Southern California alone averages 10,000 measurable earthquakes per year. That's here in Southern California, or 27 a day. So next time you talk to a relative or somebody from out of state, they say, well, how's it going with earthquakes? Great, had 27 today. You just tell them that. And there you go. You can't say you didn't learn anything at church. There's a little helpful information for you. Why do I bring all this up? To simply point out, it's very hard to get away from shaking. Now, the truth is Antarctica is the location on planet Earth which has the least occurrences of quakes worldwide. So if you don't like earthquaking, you may want to move to Antarctica. But understand if you do that, you still will ultimately be disappointed because they still do occur far less frequently, but you even get them there. If you say, well, Mark, that's it, I'm leaving the planet, I just want to remind you that even the moon has quakes. Science has called them moon quakes. So I guess quaking is here to stay. And of course, shaking occurs in our lives as well. We think of our struggling economy and its rippling effects, and we still, of course, have not completely repaired from the economic downturn in, 2007, 2008. When life suddenly changes, maybe due to your work or due to your health or due to a significant relationship, they're shaking. And I don't know, personally, in our lives at our house, this past week alone, our computer died. Our air conditioning died. Thank God the summer weather just died for a little bit. So that's good. We only got to wait till Tuesday for the new compressor. So there's this lady. She comes home one day from a long day at the office and finds her husband in the kitchen shaking frantically with a wire from the counter coming over to his body. Thinking quickly, she grabs a wood-handled broom and begins to beat him incessantly until he jerks free from the wire. It is only then she realizes he's been listening to his iPod. Sort of a mistake. So just to kind of personalize the topic this morning of shaking up, what kind of shaking is going on in your life right now? What is it where perhaps you feel a little beaten to the ground, maybe wrongly beaten to the ground in your life? It brings us now today to Psalm 55, 22. It's also our takeout verse of the week. It's on a little card in the lobby. I hope you'll pick one up. Maybe pick up two. Keep them with you. It's great advice from God's Word when we experience shaking in our lives. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Now, I found through my walk with the Lord that there is a great difference between shake and shaken. In other words, you can shake but not be shaken. And that's what God's telling us here in this verse. That God sustains those who love and honor Him. Now, every Californian knows there is no way to control earthquakes. Every Californian knows the only question is, what do you do when they hit? I still remember the morning after we got back from our honeymoon, Sherry and I, years ago, we were staying at her mom's house because our apartment we were renting, it wasn't available for a couple more days, and got off the plane and after the honeymoon, went to her house. The next, very next morning, first morning back, big earthquake. I think it was like a 7.6 or a 7.7. And you know, I said to Sherry, I was already up, and she got up, and I said, "Surf's up. We're back in California." See, when circumstances become unstable, in other words, when things around you begin to shift and move in an undesirable direction, when life brings uncertainty, the question is, what will we do? What will we do? Now, earthquake training tells us some important principles. You know, get away from large, heavy objects, especially if they're suspended above you or next to you. If you can, get under a doorway or under a well-built table. Don't panic and have bottled water in case of an extended difficulty. And in the same way, God gives us advice here on how to face the shaking of our lives well, how not to panic, how not to endanger ourselves, how not to be found in the rubble when the shaking's through. It is emergency preparedness training for the tough times of life. Because, see, the question is not if we will shake. The question is what we will do when we shake. When we shake. And I would remind you today, you can't stop shaking, but you can stop quaking. So how do you stop the quake? In other words, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the pressure, the hopelessness, the despair, the panic, the abiding concern when the shaking occurs. For many of us, there's some shaking going on right now. And I know at our house we're praying for several of you here in the church family who are facing very serious things. You're going through shaking. Now, I know we just completed the book of Mark, but I do want to go back to Mark chapter 4 for just a moment, where we find a story, a true account of seismic proportions. Jesus, of course, had been teaching a huge crowd that day, telling them of God and His coming kingdom. And it's been really a spiritually phenomenal day. Yet it's also been a very long day. And picking up at verse 35 there in Mark 4, we see from the Living Bible paraphrase, it says, "As evening fell, Jesus said to His disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Him just as He was and started out, leaving the crowds behind, though other boats followed." Verse 37. And here's the shake. "But soon a terrible storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water and about to sink." Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. Frantically, they wakened Him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to drown?" Okay, hang on for just a minute. You ever been serving the Lord in your life? You ever say, "God, I'm living for You. God, I'm going to church. God, I'm even giving. God, I'm getting involved. I'm trying to do the right things here. I didn't do that thing the other day. I did do this good thing today. How come these things are happening to me? How come, if You're all powerful and You love me, how come I'm having this shaking in my life?" And I believe that's why the disciples were so frantic and upset with the Lord. Because you see, they thought God was sleeping when the chips were down in their boat in life. They're like, "Jesus, wake up. We're sinking here. How come You're relaxed?" They're quaking in the shaking and the storm of their life. God is relaxed. What a contrast. Now, the storm, of course, here described is a very terrible one. We know that several of the disciples were very seasoned fishermen. This was not their first rodeo out on the sea. It was a big, mighty mess out there. Maybe you've been in a big, mighty mess. How many of you today, like me, because I'm raising my hand not to be an example, I'm just telling you, I've had the big storms before in my life. Have you? I mean the stuff, not just like, you know, little 3.2 earthquake. I'm talking big ones. The ones where you go, I don't even know I'm going to get through this. I just want to remind us today, we're all still here, right? Amen. We're all still here. We're still blessing the name of the Lord. We might have thought, God, are you asleep? Don't you care? What's going on? How come I've been trying to honor you and I'm going through all this? And God's saying to us, I got it. I got it. I got it. And that's why it says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Now, it's interesting that word righteous there. We know the Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. So the devil would want to disqualify us from ever having God help us in our burdens and our deep concerns in life. In this verse, the devil would say to us, well, so you're not righteous, so God's not going to help you. But that's a lie. Because what the Bible says is that when you come to the Lord and you ask his forgiveness, when you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, that you rose for me, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. The Lord does that. And we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, it is not that we have lived a perfect life. Therefore, God will help us in our shaking in life. It is that we've accepted his son, Jesus. And because we are made right with God through him, we are viewed as righteous in God's eyes. So if you're seeking to simply go in God's direction, in other words, you've accepted the Lord and you said, Lord, I'm seeking to follow you, then God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't say, well, you had a pretty good week, Mark, so I'll help you this time. He says, I love you, son, and I'm going to help you out of this one. And he'll do it every time as we cast our cares on him. Now, no doubt, some of the disciples must have been thinking while they're frantically chewing Jesus out, they are chewing God out in the boat. They must have been thinking, I served you all day. We had a great day of ministry. We know God the Father was pleased. Why did you tell us to get on this little boat anyway and take this horrible voyage? It's all your fault, God. And now, while they're sinking, he's sleeping. Fan-stinking-tastic. I've had times like that in my life. I got mad at God. I said, God, you let me down. I was here for you, and you let me down. I can't believe it. I can't believe it, but maybe you aren't as great as you say you are. Maybe you aren't as concerned about me as I thought you were. Maybe you don't, and you see where this goes? And the quaking just grows and grows. And what does God say back in a sweet, almost sleepy voice? I got it. I got it. I got it. But you see, our voice of panic and quaking is so loud, sometimes we don't even hear him say, I got it. I got it. When you're ankle deep in water, when the white caps are breaking so close you can feel the salty spray in your face and the sting in your eyes, when the wind's blowing so hard that the darkness surrounds you and you come to the conclusion, I'm on my own and I'm going down for the last time. I want to tell you, God's in control. Have you ever felt that way? See, I think there's a reason the story is in the Bible here in Mark chapter 4. It's not because God didn't have enough content and he wanted to pad his manuscript to make a few more pages for the publisher. He put this in here because he knew we would need it. Because it's not a question of if you will shake, it's what do you do when you shake. For the unbeliever, for the person outside of relationship with Christ, they got nothing. But when you know the Lord, you can lean, you can depend, you can cast yourself literally with all of your concerns on Him, and you can say, God, I don't have this one. I need you to take it for me. And God wants us to remember this emergency procedure for life. When you shake, don't quake. Yes, it's a storm, but He's greater than any storm. Verse 39, then Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, quiet down. And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. Exclamation point. That's what it says in the Living. There was a great calm. Exclamation point. Isn't that kind of interesting? A great calm. Exclamation point. Calm. Like a library calm. Like a sitting by a lake at 5 a.m. calm. Psh. See, God can deflate your difficult circumstance in a moment. He turns things on a dime. He's in charge of everything. Could it be that God loves us so much, He just wants us to learn to trust Him? Do you know what an absence of fear is by definition? An absence of fear is trust. Do you know what fear is? It's like a math formula. Fear is an absence of trust. Worry is fear trying to figure things out. Have you ever thought about that? When you worry, you are living in the experience of fear, anxiety, deep concern, and you're trying to make sense of things. That's where the disciples were at. What a contrast between the two countenances of Jesus and then the disciples in the boat. The absence of fear is trust. And so we read in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Now, it's interesting. The text does not say don't worry about anything, period. There are some believers who become very fatalistic. They say, well, whatever's going to be is going to be. It's in God's hands. There's nothing I can do about it. So what do I have to worry about? Well, that's stupid. The verse says don't worry about anything, comma. A comma means there's more to the sentence. Don't worry about anything, comma. Instead, pray about everything. You have no business, believer, not worrying until you start praying. When you give your burdens to God, that's when you experience His peace. Not when you think He can handle it. Not when you say it's not going to do any good to worry. You experience His peace when you, by action, give the problem to Him. You get on your knees. You get with your spouse. You go to the person who's struggling and you say, let's give it to God. And then you do that. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Do you think maybe Jesus was just worn out in the stormy boat waiting for the disciples to ask for His help nicely? That finally He just laid down, said, I'll take a nap till they're good and ready. And finally, when they started to sink, they finally came over to Him and asked for His help. I think He woke up and thought, finally, boys, I've been waiting to help you for a couple hours now. And then secondly, I would say to you today, bend, don't break. In other words, remain dependent on God. Isaiah 42:3 says, a bruised reed He will not break. As you take your burdens off of your shoulders and you give that heavy weight over to God, because the load is too heavy sometimes, it'll break you if you keep carrying it. Just quit carrying it. Give it to God. And remember, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Whenever you're shaking, regularly acknowledge before God, you're my provider, you're my sustainer, you're my source of everything good in my life. You know, it's sad. Have you ever met a believer who was broken by their circumstances? Maybe they become despondent in despair or discouragement, depression. There's no hope. Maybe they become bitter and embittered in their spirit and angry. Yeah, I still believe in God, but you know, all this stuff doesn't really work. Maybe they're angry. God didn't help me. They're broken. The Bible says you don't have to break. You know, we just had those high winds. I went out and checked. We have a lot of palm trees in the backyard. I looked this morning. None of them are broken. You know why? Because they're built by God to allow the wind to go through them rather than to pull them over when the wind blows. Let the stuff go through you. Don't let it pull you down. Just keep giving it over to God. Bend, but don't break. And by the way, the best way to bend when you're going through hardship is to bend straight forward before the Lord and His throne and to give it over to Him. You see, at the end of the day, I just want to say this, and I think it's the whole point. What ultimately gets you through the shaking in life without quaking and without breaking is when you really accept how much God loves you, how much He will help you, and how much you can depend on Him. Psalm 56, 9. This I know, that God is for me. For every believer who's accepted Him, who's seeking to row their boat His direction, this I know, God is for you. And He'll see you safely through. Then I just, at the risk of causing some pain with my rhyming, I just want to say also, along with Ben, don't break, I just want to say refuse to flake. You know, this is the other thing believers tend to do. We get under the pressure cooker of life, and suddenly we go, that's it, that's it. I gave God a couple of days. It's not going to happen. I'm going to have to handle this on my own. I'm going to have to break a few of His laws and commands. I'm going to have to do some wrong things, but I can get out from under this shaking. I can get everything back at peace. And guess who's in control? We are, rather than Him. I want to tell you, believer, don't doubt by bailing out. Don't get out of the ship while it's sinking. The captain stays with the ship. If you're starting to go down with the Lord, there's no better place to be than going down with the Lord, because He'll bail you out and He'll help you to stand. It's the attitude where you say, Lord God, I have taken all of my chips in life and I've pushed them over to Your side of the table. Let it ride. I'm all in. Let's see what happens next. You're never done when you know and love God. He's got you no matter what shaking occurs in your life. So refuse to flake. I've spoken about it earlier. You can't control earthquakes. When shaking in your life comes, it's so natural to want to control it. It's like you want to find the little knob on the wall and turn down the shaking. See, control says, I can beat this thing. I'll redefine the rules. I'll take action even if it isn't right. I've tried this God thing. I've tried the Bible. But look at the mess I'm in. Wait. God is never late. Don't think it's fate. The Lord is great. Wrote that myself. You could tell. Psalm 62:2. God only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Isn't that beautiful? I shall not be greatly shaken. You see the difference between quaking and shaking? I will not be greatly shaken. We're just people. Shakespeare said, prick me, will I not bleed? Of course it's scary at first. Of course it's difficult. But then you go, oh, that's right. I'm going to turn it over to God. He could handle this for me. Because he loves me. Because he has all the power beyond the universe at his disposal. Because he's listening right now. Because he's waiting at the back of the boat on the cushion for me to ask for his help. And so Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. So, stop the quake, bend, don't break, refuse to flake, and finally, at risk of really going too strong on this, remember the steak. I got to tell you, at our house, at my age, I don't get a lot of red meat, but when I do, that's what I want, is some steak. Remember the blessings that are going to come. Remind yourself that you have a good, loving God who will bless you, who will prosper you. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, sorrow may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Some of you are in the night right now. We're praying for you. But I want to tell you, the shout of joy is coming. So start getting your vocal cords ready to praise the Lord. Has there been a time in your life when you were still in the sorrow and you started praising the Lord in advance? I have. Because I figured it would come sooner if I started praising him now. We have no business quaking. We have no business flaking. We have no business breaking. This is God we're talking about. There is nothing you will experience that God can't handle for you. Amen. Nothing. So remember the stake. God has promised good to those who love him. God has promised good to those who wait on him. God has told us to put our confidence in him, that good is coming. So when you start going down with the ship, say, oh, good, this is my opportunity to put my trust in the Lord and to watch what he's going to do for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who has called you, and he also will bring it to pass. So today, my friend in Christ, if you're facing a tumultuous time, a tough time, a gut-wrenching time, apply this spiritual truth in your life and all of the spiritual realities you've learned. And watch what God's going to do through it all. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his mighty power, which is at work within us. Your life may shake, but it need not be shaken. I think of James Bond in a time like this. Sorry, I just do. And I just want to remind you of the most famous statement, whatever actor it was over the years, over the decades who played James Bond, this is the most famous statement. You know it's true. And it applies to the message today. What did he say? You walk up to the bar. They say, what do you want to drink, Mr. Bond? He'd say, shaken, not stirred. So that's the message today. We as believers, shaken, but not stirred. And when you face the tough stuff of life, you just keep saying, shaken, not stirred. Because God's in control. You just lay it on him, give it over to him, tell him you need him, he'll handle the rest. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, this is what we need, a God who comes through, and we thank you that you do. For in the greatest needs of our life, you sent your Son. And he came and obediently died for us and miraculously rose from the dead. And so we find in you, Lord Jesus, the solution to our eternal life's dilemma with sin. For we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and you are the only one who can save. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you, for you are our living, everlasting hope. Now, if you're not sure you've ever invited Jesus in your life, what a great time to do it. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible says that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you need to accept Jesus in your life today, or maybe you've known the Lord for years, but you've been kind of distant from him. Maybe you've been flaking. Maybe you've been quaking. Maybe you were breaking. Maybe today's the day you need to recommit your life to the Lord, to come back and say, Lord, be the Lord of my life. I'll follow you. So if you need to accept Jesus for the first time today to settle it, he'll come into your life, he'll forgive you of your sins, he'll give you the assurance of heaven. Or if you want to recommit to the Lord today, just talk to him now. He's listening. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe you are God's only Son, and that you died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead so I can live with you forever in heaven. Thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of everything and come into my life right now. Or I want to recommit my life to you right now. I'm willing to give up my old ways to live for you. And Lord, whether we pray that in our past or today, we say thank you so much. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're there for us. Thank you that you make all the difference in our lives for the best. We give our concerns to you. Please do what only you can do. And we will be sure to thank you and praise your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.